Welcome to I'm In, the Institute of Hospitality's official podcast hosted by me, Phil Street, FIH. Today, and in a slight change of scheduling, we're talking about the importance of the financial controller. And joining me to talk about this, we have Harsh Sadani, AIH, Alprazan, MIH, and the IOH's very own Leon Williams, FIH. A massive thank you to all three of them for giving up their time and opinion. Don't forget, if you want to feature on an episode of the show, just reach out to me at phil.street@instituteofhospitality.org. But for now, let's head to the conversation. Hello and welcome to the next episode of I'm In, the Institute of Hospitality's official podcast, hosted by me, Phil Street, FIH. Last month, we looked into the world of running a stable business. No doubt, that's a huge part of what is around us at the moment, but also how you control your finance is actually quite an important part of your business anyway. So this month, we thought as a good follow-up to that, it would be a great idea to bring back our importance of series and place some emphasis on the role of the financial controller. As always, I won't do this alone. So to help me do this, I'm once again joined by three more wonderful human beings from within the IOH membership who have all very kindly given up their time to chat to me about this subject today. So first up, from within the fellowship, we have none other than the IOH's very own Leon Williams, who is the finance director at the IOH. Hi, well, Leon, I was going to call you William there.
Yes, hello. It's absolute pleasure to, you know, make my debut on.
Yeah, how's it taken this long?
Busy.
Yeah. I mean, you say this is your debut, but in actual fact, you've played your part in every single podcast that we've had. Because just to clarify, Leon is the architect of the theme tune.
Yes, that I am. I suppose, yeah, everybody has heard my voice already.
Yeah.
But it's good to be here actually in person, and it's a brilliant subject matter as well.
Top man. And what's new in the IOH? How is life there, apart from busy?
Yeah, IOH is extremely vibrant, loads of events, loads of activity. Yeah, definitely the IOH is in a very good place at the moment.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for giving up your time to chat to us about this topic today. Yeah, okay, so next up from within the AIH ranks, we have Harsh Sadani, who is the sales manager at the Hampton by Hilton, London City.
Hey, hi Phil.
How are you doing?
All good, yes. Just busy, as Leon mentioned. It's that time of the year. It's March closing, so yeah.
Yeah, good stuff. So just tell us a little bit about your hotel.
As Phil said, I'm Harsh. I'm the sales manager of the recently opened Hampton by Hilton, London City. So that's a new hotel we opened last year. I did the pre-opening. So it was my first pre-opening as well. So yeah, pretty close to that hotel. And now it's all running. Everything is in place for the hotel. And yeah, very excited about it. And it's going amazing. A very busy journey of opening that hotel. But yes, loved it.
Great stuff. Well, I mean, openings are always a bit crazy, aren't they?
Yes. But yeah, it boosts a lot of confidence and a lot more things. So can't complain.
Yeah, very good. And next up from within the MIH ranks, we have Alprazan, who is an F&B specialist. Well, actually super experienced across many, many disciplines within the industry. Welcome to the show, Alpra.
Hello. Thank you very much, Phil. Hello, Harsh. Leon.
How is life?
Very good, thank you. And it's raining at the moment, but I may see the sunshine in half an hour. You never know.
You never know, indeed. And just for context, I mean, you deserve an A star because you were telling us before we turned the microphone on that you've been in a small car crash, but nevertheless, you're so professional that you continue to turn up to this in any case.
Yeah, fortunately, no harm done. Just unfortunately, the car in front of me, you know, had a little accident, shall we say, and that's put me back about an hour from my destination. But all good.
Bless you. And you're taking the time to do this. So I salute you, sir. I salute you.
No worries. No worries at all.
I'm going to come back to you, Leon. And I suppose this is a question we ask of everybody, but maybe for you, this is kind of irrelevant because you're an employee at the IOH. Because we usually say, why did you say I'm in to the Institute of Hospitality? But you said I'm in because you're employed there, I guess.
That is part of it. But also, you know, I definitely said I'm in because of, first and foremost, the IOH provides professional recognition in the industry. And also to make a difference as well. You know, when we talk about diversity in the industry. I obviously represent, you know, a section of diversity, and I definitely wanted to represent and make a difference from my standpoint. So yeah, that was definitely two of the main reasons why I said I'm in.
Top man. Yeah, and how long have you been with the IOH now, Leon?
Over 20 years.
Over 20 yeah. years.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. And you've developed through that time as well, though, haven't you? Because you're FD now, but you've developed into that role.
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. I've done like various roles within the Institute. And then I would say, like, you know, a few years into the role, then I always had kind of multi roles. And then when I started to study ACCA, it was kind of like a natural path to more focus on the finance element.
Yeah, got you. Great stuff. And then same question to you, Alper. Why did you say I'm in to the Institute of Hospitality?
In short sentence, I always believe my motto is hospitality is a way of life, not just a job. And if I expand that, I've started as a glass collector when I was 16, 35 years now. Have worked almost 30 years in, you know, the casual dining, cocktail bars and restaurants, and I worked my way up. And then hospitality gave me everything I dreamed of and more. So to be able to contribute and give back is absolutely why I will be humble servant of IOH and hospitality industry.
Bless you. Bless you. Yeah, I mean, yeah, the other thing is that I know as well that you're a judge for the Restaurant Manager of the Year, aren't you? In fact, head judge. Is that right?
Yeah, I've been lucky enough. Last 10 years, I've been one of the judges for the Restaurant Manager of the Year competition. And last year, I've been asked to be the chair of judges, which is, I'm still pinching myself, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, 26th of April, we have the Restaurant Manager of the Year competition in the Cafe Royale. So you will see the all walk of lives and all restaurant managers from different brands and concepts. They will be battling out and really just celebrating their own success in terms of what they have done. So, yes.
Yeah. And I'd say to anybody, if you ever have any kind of faulting in your confidence in this industry in terms of the direction it's heading, and just get along to an event like that, because the talent on show is just off the charts.
I mean, it's incredible, Phil. Every year I go, you literally learn from the next generation, the new restaurant managers, you know, what they do. And you can't stop yourself admire them, because last 5 years, I think you all agree, we had all the challenges you can imagine and plus 10 times more in hospitality and with the economical climate. And it's fascinating to see the mental strength within the industry, within our leaders, what they are doing every day to overcome these obstacles is just amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Wonderful. Right. And then finally, back to you, Harsh. Why did you say I'm in to the IOH?
I came to this country, I think, 2 years ago. So definitely couldn't be a better platform to get yourself established, connect with the people who are already in this market, because I was back in India, came here for my master's. So I think it's been close to 2 years I've joined the Institute now. So joined as a student member and started attending those networking events. Got some amazing mentors as well through IOH's mentorship program. So I worked with two of my mentors. And I think everything from networking and the access to resources that I have right now, learning and growth from just people I've met through it, I think, yeah, it just says it all. And the person I've evolved in the last 2 years, I think a lot of it comes from the Institute.
Yeah, that's great to hear. I mean, you know, the bank of knowledge, both, you know, in so many different mediums as well, in person, as you say, through mentorship, but actually just the bank of knowledge that sits within the website itself is quite remarkable, built up over years and years.
Yes. And yeah, it's amazing to just connect with so many people, like-minded people who are definitely far more experienced than me, as you, Leon, Alper, and yeah, it's so much to learn from all of you. So yeah, really excited.
Fantastic. Great stuff. All right. Well, I think it's time we got stuck into today's topic, which, just as a reminder, is all about the importance of the financial controller. And I'm going to open with a statement today, which is from Robert Kiyosaki. So for those of you who don't know, he is some kind of money guru, to be honest. He wrote the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad, amongst many, many others, and is kind of known across the land as just a finance guy, really. Just knows his onions when it comes to all matters finance. So finance is not about money. It's about making dreams come true. Isn't that lovely? So there we are. So I'm going to just open this question to you all. Any one of you can jump in on this. It's a very basic question to start with. But the financial controller role, just explain your understanding of this role within hospitality.
Okay, I can take this. So just as a starting point. So financial controller for me, I work in sales, right? So I do work with my financial controller quite closely. So what my understanding from being working with him for the last 1 year, going into the meetings, I think it's everything like taking care of the financial health of the hotel or the organization. I think they do everything from those financial reportings every month, doing our budgeting. We are doing our forecasting for every month, weeks, yearly forecasts, and just making sure of all the internal controls, regulations are in place. And again, they deal with, I think, everything from paychecks and making sure you get your right pay to making sure the entire financial statements are matching up. So I think it's a really wide role, and again, comes with a lot of regulations around the systems. And yeah, it's I think a great role, which supports the entire hotel's financial health, because at the end of the day, the owners would definitely want to know all those metrics that we'll later go into. So yeah, it's a great role which takes care of the entire financial health of a particular organization.
Great summary. Yeah. Leon, Alper, anything to add into that?
Yes, I mean, I definitely think that was a great summary. I do say, and it's probably a little bit, I'm probably answering a couple of questions with my answer, but I would also say, you know, the role of a financial controller, apart from what Harsh has actually said already, is also, I would call it like a translator, you know, laying out, you know, financial figures in layman terms, and also in real world terms as well, because I think that's very important. Sometimes finance people can be, if you want to use the word, you know, talking finance speak. And I think it's really important that, you know, what is actually happening and the objectives get laid out in layman terms to that particular person or department. In ways that they can understand, and in real world terms as well.
I think that's a wonderful point. I hadn't even kind of contemplated that, because it's quite a technical subject, isn't it? There's a lot of technical terms that come from it, and I suppose you'll have first hand experience of this, Leon, going through qualification. Yeah. You just can't get away from the fact that there's technical terms around a lot of the things that you do. So you know, if you're trying to help the business move forward, you can't, I suppose, expect that the vast majority of people will have a true understanding of what some of the technical terms are.
Most definitely. And I think that's a key kind of attribute, is to be able to, you know, lay out, you know, complex, you know, whether it be calculations or forecasts or budget, you know, whatever it may be, but just breaking it down in simple terms so that, you know, the person receiving the information understands totally and utterly and can actually use the information to improve and use it to go forward in whatever activity they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Over to you, Alper, just in terms of your experience from the operations perspective, what's been your involvement with the financial controller positions across your career so far?
I think for me is either you are part of the corporate, or if you are a sole trader, a typical entrepreneur, which is the bed of our hospitality, you know, the future. If you look at it right now, the current, you know, the management or leadership style we're talking about for the financial role, they are more self-reliant in terms of what we're trying to do with the business. And I think, you know, the financial role or finance role is all about the profitability and, you know, the sustainable growth. Now, I think it is one of the most fundamental things when you look at the, you know, the hospitality industry, one of the biggest contributor to the GDP for almost, I can say, for any country or most countries. So understanding the P&L, understanding the business, you know, the how it runs, sometimes is a training program for the, you know, the hotels. But if you're on the high street, and if you are an entrepreneur, it becomes, you know, the second nature to you, because, you know, you wouldn't get the source of support when you work with the corporate or limited companies in terms of the, you know, the budget planning, you know, the risk management and the cost control, labor management. But, you know, the finance role is always, we need to, you know, to simplify it. I always look at when I was running the restaurant, you know, as a restaurant manager, as you guys know, the labor, one of the, you know, the biggest expenditure in our P&L. So unless we manage the, you know, our labor cost and the margin, there is all to it. It's all about the, you know, the survival mode. And I think nowadays, looking at all this, you know, the AI and technology tools we have, it is much easier for us to be, you know, the effective. And I think, you know, the finance side of it, first, we need to be profitable. Second, we need to be sustainable. And the third, we will start thinking how we're going to grow. So for any business, particularly for hospitality, I think one of the most important and the fundamental area is to be able to understand the financial role in all aspects, in all departments and the roles we have as a company, whomever small or biggest will be.
Yeah. And I think they're, you know, therefore, I mean, it sounds to me like you could answer this question like straight away, like the importance of the financial controller is huge, because, you know, there is a conduit to improve the financial information across the business, there to improve the financial capability of everybody else in the business as well, so that they're managing their own departments better. So I suppose then, moving on from that then, for anybody who's looking to become a financial controller, what do you think, and maybe I'll come to you, Leon, because you're kind of, your head is in this stuff day in, day out. What do you think are the key attributes required to be a successful financial controller?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, something what is very, this applies throughout your role, no matter if you're just starting out or if you want to say senior and very established, is first attention to detail. Attention to detail is something what, you know, it's a skill, it's an attribute what you always need, regardless at what level. And then definitely multitasking as well, you know, the ability to do several things. I wouldn't say at once, but several things kind of on the go, you know. It definitely helps to be, the word what comes, funny enough, output was what he just said a minute ago. The word what kept on coming up for me, and this is what I find myself in my role, is be a collaborator as well, you know, understanding all the different elements of the organization and the people as well. You know, it's really important to have relationships with people, because that helps you to, one, having those relationships helps you to gain the information as well, what you need, what can help them and also help the business, and, you know, and then therefore serve all the different objectives. So those basic attributes, and then obviously you've got the more technical aspects, in terms of you definitely have to study, you know, one of the you know, the main bodies. It could be ACCA, it could be CIMA, ACA, what I would say in recent years, AAT has come along very well as well, you know. And also, never think you know it all. Always be willing. I think Alpa said this earlier as well, is like, you can actually, you know, if you want to use the term, the youngsters coming up, they can teach you just as much as the senior people as well. So, you know, be prepared to always learn, because things shift in this industry all the time.
Yeah, no doubt. And Harsh, if I come to you around, from your perspective, with your sales head on, what kind of attributes are you looking for from a financial controller in terms of being able to do your job correctly, or to the best of your ability without any barriers?
Yeah, I think, taking on what Leon said, again, technical part is there, and then I would think financial controller, taking examples of, I think, two or three of them, what I've worked in different hotels, I have to have those strong analytical skills, as Leon said, attention to detail. Plus, I would add some really good communication skills, because when you deal with sales, reservations, I do handle a lot of, let's say, financial amount, the revenue. So it's pretty important to have that communication established with the financial controller, so that even if it is related to a client, getting us the commissions or getting that right, or paying out on invoices, a lot of things. I think communication is, again, the key between the departments with the financial controller, and that would make it much easier. And it always helps at the hotels where financial controller's office is just next to the, like, the main admin office. You can definitely just walk in and say that, hey, this is the thing, that's the invoice we need, that's our client, can we get this done? And I think communication definitely helps if they have great communication, it helps overall departments in the hotel.
Yeah, also sounds like having access to them is vital. You know, communication is one part of that, but actually being able to, you know, as you say, just knock on the door and go in,
right,
get a question answered, you know, absolutely essential.
Yes.
Yeah. Alper, like, we're kind of moving hats here. We've had a finance hat, we've had a sales hat. You're an operations specialist. Yeah. So same question really around from your perspective, what do you need from the financial controller in order for you to be able to do your job to the max?
I mean, I think it's the relationship and understanding each other jobs and what we can bring to the table is pivotal. Because as an operator, you know, you will get the drill how to drive the revenue to make the sales and so on. And what you get from your accountant or financial controller depends on the company you are working in. They've got an absolutely pivotal role to manage the cash flow, which not necessarily our expertise. You know, at 12 o'clock lunchtime when you're serving your guests, you won't think about your bottom line or the, you know, the VAT you're going to pay. This is where you rely on your financial controller, weekly basis, daily basis, some sort of, you know, reporting and monitoring system when it's in the place. They will be ultimately contribute to your profitability to maximize it. It's all about maximizing the profitability. And I think when you look at the financial controller, I like to talk specific, not, you know, from the generic, but we have this, you know, the pay rates issues is going to come in now in April. And I know the financial controller they will sit down and they will look at the, you know, the calculations, what we need to deliver in terms of the sales to keep the same momentum in terms of sustainable profitability. And obviously that's going to impact on our, you know, the labor cost. In terms of the margin, you know, they will contribute by updating your, you know, the cost pricing constantly changing. And for you to have absolute, you know, the accurate numbers while you're operating any business, that's where financial controller, they can be able to give you the heads up and they can give you a couple of scenarios and, you know, to be able to manage the risk or manage the, you know, the bottom line profit. Because I was reading 3-4 weeks ago, and that's going to be the difference between operator and the finance people. I hope I'm not going to disturb some of the roots, but basically I read on the, you know, the caterer, 2023, we had 58%, you know, the liquidation on the pub industry, and nearly 900 pubs is closed, you know, the last year. And we know now we're going to a flat kind of style of, you know, the economy for our next 24 months anyway. So when all this disruption is happening, it is vital to stay close to your, you know, the financial advisor to be able to, you know, to have some strategy, some plan in place. Because ultimately decisions you're going to make, it's going to, you know, produce opportunities. Yes, we have closed 900 pubs. And I always look at that as a measure of, you know, the economical climate in hospitality, if you like. And what I know from hospitality, you know, also that's going to produce a lot of opportunities. So I will sit down as an operator, will think, okay, this is what, you know, we can do. And I'm sure, you know, all the operators, they will invent different concepts, different brands to drive forward. But when you sit down with the, you know, a finance team, they always look at the, you know, the 1% you have left on the table, not 99% success you have made. So yeah, it's always my kind of like a calming place to go when you are sitting down, you know, on a table, because you look at it half glass full and you'll get from the finance team half glass empty, which is, it really brings some balance to the dynamic and the operation, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Leon, do you want to take the bait?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is very important in terms of the financial controller role to provide useful, you know, scenarios in terms of, you know, best case scenario, worst case scenario, metrics as well, and trends. Sometimes just identifying trends, and then, you know, whether it be, you know, the operation director, the sales director decides to act on the trends, it could be an anomaly, and that's just that. Or we could be onto something that actually turns into, you know, a new line of income or such alike. So and vice versa as well. You know, you could identify trends that we need to mitigate as quickly as possible, because, you know, as Alper has said, sometimes you are operating on fine margins, and if you know, particular activities are not or trends are not acted on quick enough, you know, that could be the difference between, you know, delivering a profitable period or a loss. And obviously, you know, a loss is what we want to avoid at all costs.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair, because if loss, I mean, loss is maybe inevitable in some moments, but if it's a consistent issue, then obviously that's not a sustainable business. I mean, that's just kind of simple maths, really, isn't it?
Exactly.
Around that. So what would happen, and again, a fairly open question to you all, anybody feel free to just chip in. What would happen if a business doesn't have a financial controller? How do they kind of get around that?
I suppose, I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, funny enough, let's just use smaller businesses or maybe a sole trader. You know, it's essentially somebody has to take on the role, because it's almost like a ship without a captain. Let's say for instance you have budget set, and it could be, you know, sales, it could be cost of sales, it could be overheads, whatever it may be, but you've got the budget set, and then now you know you've got actual performance. You always need somebody there to say, hey, yes, no, we're in line with that performance, or actually we're starting to drift away from that performance. So it's almost like a conductor, just making sure that, you know, you stay as close to that line as possible, and intervening with some course correction via information or whatever it may be. So I think businesses what do not have a financial controller, you know, the risk of just straying away and not really, you know, measuring your performance. You're just almost straying in the wind, almost. That's what I would say. And it's a risk that me personally, I wouldn't advise any business to do so.
Yeah, and then actually listening to your response, I realised that maybe I'm the best placed of all of us here to even answer this, because we are a small business. I run a small business. We don't have a financial controller in our payroll, but of course I pay an accountant to effectively, you know, manage our finances, really, just in terms of being able to put the data all in one place. So I know what's coming in, I know what's going out, and I get visual on that from the data that he produces for me. So whilst I don't have a financial controller as such in the business, I've still got somebody who knows what they're doing when it comes to this kind of stuff, so that, you know, I'm not then spending my time being the financial controller, which is not, you know, not why I'm in business at the end of the day. So I think you're right that ultimately the position might not exist in job title terms, but I think any small business who's not running their business with accountancy help in some way is probably going to get found out very, very quickly.
Most definitely.
Okay, so anybody who's listening to this who is aspiring to become a financial controller, maybe they're at the beginning of their career or whatever, might be listening to this in one department in the hotel but actually wants to move into finance, what would you suggest would be, what should they go and seek out really in terms of gaining experience and knowledge? And again, I'd love to come to you, Leon, because you've answered a couple of questions in a row, but Harsh or Alper, any thoughts on that in terms of the experience that they should go out and seek?
I think, if I may jump in on this, I had the opportunity to see both sides of the story in terms of, you know, for such a long time I worked for, you know, the companies, but also I had, you know, my own businesses. Like yourself, I paid the VAT. And when you are experiencing the both parts, what obviously brings you to, in terms of financial control support, will be come from your accountant when you are entrepreneur or if you are owning your own small business. And my biggest advice will be for a financial controller, and what I've seen, you know, the best contributor is, no matter how small or, you know, in terms of the length of time, it's long it is, they need to come into the business and understand the operation and experience it from inside to get an understanding. And that makes a huge difference, because as an operator, you always sit down on the table and you discuss the numbers. But I always seen the best collaboration when financial controller, they come in and spend a little bit of time within the business, you know, to have an interaction with the team and the guest and see how it's operating. Often they come out with some really great ideas and advice and, you know, small little tricks and tips, if you like, makes a huge, huge difference. I mean, because of that, we have so many businesses now in hospitality. You got apps, you know, the systems almost work out for you a daily basis P&L. And when you are a small business, your biggest interest is to make sure you do break even. And when you're a financial controller in the restaurant, for example, if you are set out today to make $5,000 forecast, you know, from the revenue, and since the labor, one of the, you know, the biggest, you know, the expenditure, you will get from the financial controller the same simple modules that your supervisors, team leaders, assistant managers, they will understand to be able to manage the business on this aspect. If you haven't got, you know, the luxurious app system, or, you know, if you are not working with the, you know, the big corporates and you can't afford, you know, to pay that kind of money, that's where financial controllers, they can add real value to the business, because without making profitability and sustainability in the business, we all know that it just will be a matter of time, you know, to have some serious challenges. So my advice will be, is I'm sure has to be the great asset for financial controller, the numbers, the, you know, the analysis, like Leon said, the attention, the details, but also when they understand the operation, I think that's where we get the best outcome from the both parties.
I think it's a great point, actually, and actually it's not something I'd really fully contemplated as being an important part of the experience that you should gain in order to be a good financial controller. It makes total sense, because, you know, then you've got a greater understanding of what the pinch points in the business are, what is realistic from a, you know, a black and white perspective in terms of, you know, the binary code of we do that or we don't do that kind of scenario. And then when you understand that, of course, you can make better advice.
Absolutely.
Harsh, anything to add to that from in terms of the type of experience that a good financial controller should go out and seek if they're aspiring to become a financial controller?
I mean, if you're aspiring, definitely, again, I'm young. I'm again trying myself slowly and gradually to understand more of those financial bits as I do present to my owners and do those reportings and stuff. So I do spend some time with the actual financial controller. So right now, again, I have that luxury that we have it on property. So it's best to kind of seek knowledge from them, what they do on a day-to-day basis. But I think someone who's aspiring, let's say working in food and beverage or operations, and the first thing I would say is to start from those basics of understanding those financial statements, understanding what a P&L is, the trading statements and other metrics from top lines to bottom lines and all those keywords. So you get a bit of understanding. Again, if you get the opportunity to try spend time with your financial controllers or the person who takes care of the finance, that definitely helps you to kind of get those practical aspects of what they are doing. And again, I think one of my mentors from Institute of Hospitality recently, I've got one who is into asset management, risk management, has been in finance for like 35 years. And I'm working with him. He suggested me one of the books because I actually wanted to understand more into finance. So it's a book called Uniform System of Accounting for the Lodging Industry. And I think he said that this book is read by most of the financial controllers. It gives you a basic of what it is, understands financial statements. So yes, I'm still looking out for that book this week to see if I can get it from somewhere because it wasn't available on Amazon. So yeah, I think just start from the understanding the basics, spending time with the financial controller, looking at the statements, and again, just building up from there into your knowledge. That should help.
Yeah, and even I would add into the basics. I love that. I think it's always a wonderful place to start, is to nail the basics. It's just an understanding of, you know, the simple things like what does an accounts payable do, right, or what does accounts receivable do, and income audit, and all of these, you know, individual, I suppose, maybe entry level roles into the accounting process, because you know you have to understand how to process an invoice and its impact then if you do that correctly or incorrectly or on the business. And you know, so yeah, I'm totally on board with that concept of going after the basics and getting them nailed down. Leon, with your finance head, anything else to add into that for any aspiring FCs out there?
Well, I feel you actually you literally read my mind. I was going to say exactly what you just said there. I think the basics first.
I stole your content, basically, is what you're saying.
Yeah, there's definitely the sales and purchase ledger, to me, is where you start, you know, because it's the building blocks. Once you can kind of understand what's going in, what's going out, like what you said, going back to that, to what I was saying earlier about the attention to detail, how important it is, how, you know, because if things are entered incorrectly, how that affects, you know, everything coming together all the way up the chain. So I think that, and you can learn so much just within those basics as well, you know, because when you're doing sales or purchase ledger, you're going to learn about VAT, you're going to start to learn about income and expense, you're going to learn where everything is going. Because that's essentially is the P&L anyway. So I definitely think for any aspiring financial controllers, that's where to start. Gain experience in the sales, gain experience in the purchase ledger, gain experience doing, you know, VAT. This is all essential. And then as you move up the chain, you will see how invaluable that experience is.
Yeah, and I would probably add into that is, you know, don't be in a rush. You know, totally. Really... you'll get, make sure that you are absolutely, you know, getting it before you, right, I feel like I've got it, I'm going to move on. I think I think a lot of the time people can be in a rush to climb up the ranks as quickly as possible, but I'd say consolidate your learning as much as possible in the early stages, because that will help you way more as you get more advanced in your career and you start hitting that kind of financial controller position.
100%.
Phil, if I may just share.
Of course.
A few of my experiences, the real life experiences which I had pleasure with when I was working at the time with one of the financial controller in the restaurant. And I genuinely believe about simplifying things, especially when we have the new generations joining to, you know, the hospitality industry, the new chefs, you know, the chef de rangs and so on. I really had huge impact of, you know, the financial controller coming to the meeting, you know, every 3 months and speak from their perspective. And three things always resonate with me. Many, many moons ago, when I was, you know, we were looking at how we drive, you know, our margin, you know, the forward to increase the maximizer, basically. And one of those, as Leon said, attention to detail is so important. I know it's very simple, basic, but he said, right, whatever we have on the menu, we know Super L'Oignon gives us the highest margin. Why don't we do the team incentives to sell? And over the year, last 2 years, we've been selling, let's say 500. If we do, you know, increase that to 1,000, that's that much margin you can be able to increase within the 12 months or 6 months. And that's ultimately ignite our, you know, the team incentives based on the Super L'Oignon. And guess what? Team smashed it and we increased the margin without actually spending any money. That's one of the things that's resonated with me. And this person came into the, you know, our meeting and told our youngsters who were apprentice, you know, who was working in the kitchen, and simplified the situation and said, right, the Caesar chicken Caesar salad inside the kitchen door costs you, let's say, £3. When it comes out of that door in the restaurants, become valued of £10. And to this day, I still remember very vividly, you know, the entire whole team looked at it as if like this person was a genius. But I think we often miss out the we need to learn the basics. We need to get the basics right, and there's huge importance of, you know, the collaboration with the, you know, the finance backgrounded a person to drive the business is absolutely pivotal. And on the third one, they were managing the, you know, the our weekly stock take, and one person has pointed out the wastage on the mayonnaise, and we looked at the time the mayonnaise was 3 ounce ramekin, and they said, why don't we drop our mayonnaise to the guest in a 2 ounce ramekin? So you're going to save that much money. We can always give the person another one. Now, when you look at this, maybe it's not much, a lot to you from the pennies, but if you're, you know, operating 100 restaurant and the amount of mayonnaise you use or condiments, you're talking about thousands of pounds, you know, the saving from the bottom line. So I hope this three very simple example, it shows the collaboration of the financial controller, how much they can contribute to the business, and simply they can play a pivotal role, you know, having a successful business and being a sustainable.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you can never really truly underestimate the power of the, I think they call it a marginal gain, right? So that instant example you gave us there around changing the 3 ounce ramekin into a 2 ounce ramekin. Yes, as you say, in isolation, that's, you know, doesn't sound like a lot in itself. But if you, not even if you have 100 restaurants, but if you can find these tiny little operational changes that make, you know, when they all, you bring them all together, they all add up into one massive change. And, you know, it can just make a massive difference to your business.
Totally.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And conscious of time, but there's a couple of things I still want to get through. And actually, you brought this up earlier on. You started to bring this up earlier on, Alper, around tech, really. And this is such an evolving piece at the moment. I'm sure what we talk about today will be completely, you know, in the history archives in a month's time or something. But in what way is technology and automation going to impact the responsibilities of a financial controller? And I appreciate that people might not have a huge amount of experience of this yet, because it is kind of in motion as we speak. But do any of you have any experience of how tech and automation is playing its part in finance?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, I can...
I was hoping you'd say that.
Yeah, even just having metrics to hand is, you know, a game changer, you know. I mean, you know, we all have mobile phones or smartphones, whatever we want to call it, and having the ability to have the information at hand, you know, and quickly is amazing. And also when we talk about automation, when certain tasks can be automated via tech, what that does is free up time for activities such as analysis, such as brainstorming, you know, such as, you know, focusing on maybe regulatory matters. It basically frees up time for, and I don't want to say it in a disrespectful way, but you could almost say like mundane tasks, what are important and have to be done. But if some of them, if not all, can be automated, it frees up time to do the more complex matters, and also matters that can deliver, you know, groundbreaking change to the organization.
Yeah, absolutely. Harsh, any experience of this yourself? Because I know you and I shared the stage towards the back end of last year when we were actually talking about tech in a wider sense, not specifically within the finance realm. But yeah, any experience within what you're seeing on property in this kind of space?
Yeah, I mean, on property, again, as hotels are getting their new property management systems, they're trying to streamline the process. For example, again, the organization I work with, for Hilton, let's say, they're now implementing a new property management software slowly and gradually into hotels. And what that would essentially do is streamline the processes, not just for finance, but for different reportings, for housekeeping, for operations. So I think, yeah, tech, you need to get it right. It will help, as again, Leon is more experienced in this. He said that it will free up more time, which can be used at some other places, like trying to do those analysis and doing a bit more into forecasting and looking if the resources are allocated correctly, where there can be a scope of saving some cost, or where it can like deliver some better experience for the guests. So I think something other than those Excel sheets, financial controllers can also explore into different ways if tech is enabled. And I think slowly or gradually it will come. We are still in the starting step right now. But yeah, once it comes, I think definitely financial controllers, they'll have a much better streamlining of what their reporting is.
Yeah, I mean, I had a conversation with a VP of finance for a hotel company only last year, whereby he was telling me that they'd invested quite a lot of money and time in transferring their accounts payable function into an automated function. And when he was going through this, what that kind of entailed with me, it was kind of blowing my mind that this is where we're at now, you know. And I agree. I think, you know, this is here, right? It's here to stay. So you can either kind of put barriers up and block it, or you can jump on board and embrace it and see how it can add value to your business. And it's going to be very, very different for every single business out there. It's not going to be a one-size-fits-all solution to all and sundry. But nevertheless, you know, you've got to, I suppose, embrace the tech as it approaches and continues to evolve. Yeah, good stuff. Right. Final question, gents, before I let you get on with your evenings. But how does a financial controller balance the need for financial rigor whilst also thinking about the guest experience? And I'll come to you, Alper, again, because we kind of touched on this a little bit loosely, I suppose. But yeah, how do you ensure that they're giving the financial rigor that they should be, but also bearing in mind that they, you know, actually without the guest, we don't really have a business?
Absolutely. I think two areas is really important. One of the previously we were talking about the using the technology, which is what are, you know, the why really the good news is that the sooner that the new technology comes in, I wouldn't say almost immediately, but they become more available and cheaper once it's been established. And that has to be a good news for hospitality, because when you control the, you know, the inventory, for example, you know how much, you know, your stock holdings, therefore that's impact your cash flow in terms of the managing the business. And when you look at the, you know, the guest experience and understanding the financial controller to driving the, you know, the profitability or maximizing it. And this is where, you know, our leaders become more inventive, because it is absolutely vital when the finance team understand the brand and product in terms of delivering to the guest. There is a, you know, the expected some standards within the concept and the brand. And one thing is inevitable, we go into a time where his guest demands is just going higher and higher. Simply the way I can describe that is 10 years ago, what we had, the, you know, the QSR service and the fine dining had a huge amount of difference. Guest is demanding it so well and so much. We had the collaboration of the QSR and the, you know, the fine dining. You found in the pandemic, you know, fine dining, you know, the chef patrons, they were doing burger deliveries to home to make sure their businesses, they're going to survive. So yeah. Absolute understanding, you know, the financial controller and between the guest expectation, it's inevitable. You cannot separate it, because you either decide operations to fit budget or the budget to fit operation. And if you can't understand that, you will have a car crash in hand. So I hope I'm making some sense in terms of when
I'm operation. And an interesting choice of words with saying car crash, Alper, given what you've been through tonight. But there we are.
Yeah. That's subconscious thoughts, probably.
Indeed. No, absolutely. Yeah, gents, I think we have to wrap this up. But I mean, I think, last question, very open. I think we know the answer, have answered it already. But just how important is the financial controller? Let's sum it up, each of you, in a couple of words.
Well, you know, I would say, as I said earlier, super important. You know, it's definitely the conductor of finances. You know, the person who established, you know, who you know, is an investigator, I would say, you know, establishes trends and feeds important information to various departments on how to improve performance.
Great stuff. Harsh, how important is it?
Yeah, I mean, again, summing it all up, it's it makes sense that role is kind of indispensable for any of the bigger or even smaller organizations in hospitality. And as Leon also said, it's more about the responsibilities, the safeguarding that the financial assets are there, and ensuring those regulatory things that comes into play. But I think, yes, a business can't run without a financial controller, and they make a lot of impact in businesses, I think, long-term success and visions. And they do work on it back of the house, day in, day out, to make sure that they can drive those profitabilities and get those competitive advantages at the end of the day. So yeah, that's there.
Yeah, and I'll put final words to you on the importance of it.
I think what I would like to see is in all our institutions, either from the kitchen or front of house, we need to put in our, even university in terms of the hospitality management, we need to drive more about the financial understanding to run a successful business. And more, I would like to see the bridge between the front of house and the finance, or the management between finance team. I can see much better communication and relationships. And my simplified understanding and importance of it is this. We make, it's all about measuring the success for every pound we are making, which means to me, we have 100 penny a journey between 1 to 100 pennies we are earning. We need financial controller perspective, you know, the how much of it, the cake, it's going to be take home, and how much of it is going to be costed us. And that 100 penny journey is always, you know, it's going to play a pivotal role in terms of the hospitality and creating a sustainable business, because we need to sweat on little things to drive, you know, the success. So, yeah, that will be my bottom line about the a summary for the financial controller impact in hospitality.
Great stuff. Gentlemen, thank you very, very much for your input on this subject. I think I recruit for financial controllers, and I cannot understate their importance in a business. And I think anybody out there who's considering becoming a financial controller, I'd say take heed of the advice that we were giving you earlier on about learning the basics. But the opportunity for you out there will never go away, because the importance of this position to the business is paramount in any market, whether up, down, buoyant, terrible, whatever. You probably could argue it becomes even more important in a downward trajectory market. So, yeah, gentlemen, thank you very, very much. And I wish you a wonderful, wonderful evening ahead.
Thank you very much for having.
Thank you, Phil. Been a pleasure.
Most definitely.
Take care, guys.
I'm in.
Today's special covered the importance of the financial controller and featured Harsh Sadani, AIH, Alprazan, MIH, Leon Williams, FIH, and of course hosted by me, Phil Street, FIH. A huge shout out to the IOH's very own Sonia Cresswell, MIH, for the artwork and branding, and Leon Williams, FIH, for the music. To say I'm in and feature on a future episode, contact phil.street@instituteofhospitality.org, and to find out more about the IOH or to join our hospitality family, please click the links in the show notes. Join us next month, where we'll be picking up where we left off last month with an International Women's Day Part 2.